If you would like to follow along in the reading of God's Word this evening, if you would turn to Matthew chapter 12, I'd like to read for you verses 1 through 12. Actually, I think I want to go to verse 14. Hopefully that won't create any difficulties for internet broadcast. But Matthew chapter 12, verses 1 through 12, that give to us, I believe, the principles that we need to understand, the exceptions to the no work requirement of the fourth commandment, what it is that we may do on the Lord's Day, what it is actually we must do on the Lord's Day. Matthew writes by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, "At that time Jesus went on the Sabbath through the grain fields, and his disciples became hungry and began to pick the heads of grain and eat. But when the Pharisees saw it, they said to him, 'Behold, your disciples do what is not lawful to do on a Sabbath.' But he said to them, 'Have you not read what David did when he became hungry, he and his companions? How he entered the house of God, and they ate the consecrated bread, which was not lawful for him to eat, nor for those who were with him, but for the priests alone. Or have you not read in the law that on the Sabbath the priests in the temple break the Sabbath and are innocent? But I say to you that something greater than the temple is here. But if you had known what this means, 'I desire compassion and not a sacrifice,' you would not have condemned the innocent. For the Son of Man is Lord of the Sabbath." And departing from there, he went into their synagogue. And behold, there was a man with a withered hand. And they questioned him, saying, "Is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath?" In order that they might accuse him. And he said to them, "What man shall there be among you who shall have one sheep? And if it falls into a pit on the Sabbath, will he not take hold of it and lift it out? Of how much more value then is a man than a sheep? So then it is lawful to do good on the Sabbath." And he said to the man, "Stretch out your hand." And he stretched it out, and it was restored to normal like the other. But the Pharisees went out and counseled together against him as to how they might destroy him. May the Lord bless his word again to our understanding this evening. Now, you've already heard, and if you were here last week, you know that we have been studying what God's word has to say about keeping the Lord's Day holy. We already know that this is a commandment that continues into the new covenant for the reasons already mentioned earlier in the service. Now, realizing that this is a commandment that we are to keep, last week we began looking at how we are to do this. And we saw basically these principles that the Lord has given to us really all the time that we have, but he tells us how he wants us to apportion that time, to use 6 of the 7 days of the week to do our work and to get it all done so that on the 7th day we won't have any more work to do. As he tells us in the fourth commandment, 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the 7th is a Sabbath of the Lord your God. In it you shall not do any work. Now we saw that not only are we not to work on this day, but we are not to cause others to work on this day, and that for several reasons. Love, for instance, to our neighbor dictates that we shouldn't make them work for us. If it's sinful for us to work on the Lord's Day, it's also sinful for them. If we love them, we won't want them to sin. Love to God dictates that we should not make them work, because if we love God, then we really don't want others to dishonor him, to do things that are dishonoring to him and do not love him. We want everyone to love the Lord. And certainly when someone breaks the Sabbath, when anyone breaks the Sabbath, God is not honored in that. So love to God dictates to us that we should help others observe the Sabbath so that he would be honored by that. But of course, this is also what the Lord tells us specifically in the commandment itself, in the fourth commandment, Exodus 20, verse 10. "In it you shall not do any work. You or your son or your daughter, your male or your female servant, or your cattle, or your sojourner who stays with you." In other words, not only you, but also those who would serve you, those under your authority. And that would include anyone you might hire, to work for you on the Lord's day. All of your servants are to take the day off because everyone is supposed to be resting on this day. Now, we also saw the world has made it difficult to do this. I mean, just about every business is open on the Lord's day now, whereas that didn't used to be the case. And since they're open, it does tempt us. It tempts us to work. It tempts us to make others work for us. It's difficult to stand your ground when virtually the whole world is breaking the Sabbath, and, sadly, the evangelical church is doing the same thing. But we do need to remember that the world isn't our standard, and what the church is doing is not our standard, but the Word of God is our standard. We need to do what the Lord says, regardless of what the rest of the world might do, remembering that only what the Lord tells us is truly honoring to Him. And certainly, if we love Him, we'll want to honor Him, and we'll want to honor His Son. But let's remember, too, that this is a day that we need. We need this day for our good, as the Lord also reminds us. We need the rest. We need the worship. We need the Lord's blessing that He will give to us, which is what He promises to give us if we will keep His Sabbath holy. We need to remember anything that we might give up on this day, we will gain back and much more by the Lord's blessing on the other 6 days of the week. Not to mention, of course, the spiritual blessings that the Lord will give to us for spending the day with Him. Not to mention the fact as well that it will strengthen our assurance if this is something that we really want to do, because it will prove to us that we love the Lord, that we're willing to spend an entire day with Him. As Christians, we are saying to ourselves that we look forward to spending eternity with God, don't we? And are we really desiring that if we can't spend even one day with Him? And the Lord gives us that opportunity every week. It's an opportunity for us to examine our hearts to see whether we really do love Him. If we do, we'll want to spend this day with Him. If we do, we won't look at the day and say, you know, well, it grieves me that I just can't go out and do what I want to do on this day. I have to spend it with God. The true Christian, as I mentioned before, wants every day to be the Sabbath because we want to spend every day with Him. Now, this evening, we're going to consider the exceptions to this rule, and there certainly are exceptions. It's true that we are not to work on the Sabbath day, as we've already seen, and that is certainly the ideal. That's what the Lord wants us to do. He wants us to spend the day with Him, and we can't do that if we're doing certain kinds of work. But there are cases when it would be sinful for us not to work, at least do certain types of work. Now, these exceptions fall under two main categories, and I'm sure you know what they are by now: works of necessity and works of mercy. We must work on the Sabbath when it's necessary, and we must work on, and by the way, I'm using the word Sabbath and Lord's Day interchangeably. I hope you understand that. We must work on the Lord's Day when mercy requires that we do. Now, I have several examples that we're going to look at this evening, and I hope we don't get stuck on the fact that maybe the one that I use for necessity is really one of mercy, or vice versa. Sometimes they're hard to separate. Sometimes they're both. Hopefully, none of the examples are neither. We need, you know, there are exceptions. And we do need to take those into account. And these exceptions are not optional, really. These exceptions are required. First of all, we must work on the Lord's Day when necessity requires that we work on this day. Now, let me just repeat again. The ideal, and what we would hope would normally be the case for us on the Lord's Day, is that we would not work at all on this day, but that we would be able to rest the whole day and spend the whole day with our Lord. That should be what we want, and that should be what most Lord's days are like. But there are times when we must work, when in God's providence it would be sinful for us not to do something. Now, our Lord gives to us one obvious example, where in the Old Covenant, the priests had to work on the Sabbath. As a matter of fact, He even tells us they break the Sabbath, which is interesting. Matthew chapter 12, verse 5. Or have you not read in the law that on the Sabbath the priests in the temple break the Sabbath and are innocent. They break the Sabbath because they're working, but they're innocent. They're not guilty because what they did is necessary work. Obviously, the priests had to prepare the animals for sacrifice. They had to conduct other aspects of worship. It was not a day of rest for them. The same thing is true with regard to the ministers of the New Covenant today who need to work on the Christian Sabbath. It isn't really a day of rest for them because they have to be preaching sermons, they have to be teaching, they have to be leading in worship, ministering to the saints, and so forth. There's a lot of things that need to be done. They break the Sabbath, but are not guilty. Now, certainly, by way of extension, when we consider the bottom line principle, the Lord says, I desire compassion and not a sacrifice. I desire that you do good, even on the Lord's Day. As we think about the necessity that people hear the gospel, there are other things that we can see that would be legitimate, perhaps as opportunity, even necessity arises, to get the gospel out to others if time allows, if energy allows, if it doesn't interfere with our worship of the Lord. I haven't asked Jeff Cox if on Sundays do they go out and do their open-air missions. They take that day off, don't they? But if they were to go out and do it on the Lord's Day between services, if the Lord gives them strength and energy, or let's say a particular situation arises where there's going to be a lot of people that are going to be out on the streets, some unusual circumstance that would be a providential opportunity to put up the easel and begin doing the gospel demonstrations. Would it be offensive to the Lord if they put the easel up and began proclaiming Christ to others? You know, I don't think that would be the case. We know there are people who go to nursing homes, to convalescent hospitals, to seek to bring Christ to those who are very old, who don't have a lot of time left, or even believers who are there that could use some encouragement because they're not able to make it to the services. Is it wrong for us to do that? Well, people need to hear the gospel. And so we may witness and evangelize on this day as long as it doesn't interfere with our worship and the rest that we need in order to do the work the Lord calls us to do. Now, certainly there are other things that are necessary to do on the Lord's Day as well that can't be done on other days. For instance, when you get out of bed in the morning, you don't come to the services dressed in your pajamas. It's necessary to get dressed. It's necessary to pay attention to personal hygiene matters, to get cleaned up and to to be presentable on that day. It's necessary to prepare food. Along those same lines, there are things that even farmers have to do that are necessary on the Lord's Day that can't be put off to other days. I believe, although I'm not an expert in dairy farming, I think that sometimes the cows need to be milked. Otherwise, they get too heavy, too painful. Problems arise. It might be harmful to the cows. Or certain crops need to be gathered in. If they're not gathered in on that day, then a large portion of them might be destroyed and it might ruin the farmer. Certain types of crops need to be transported on that day. So there are necessary kinds of work. Some people who work for utilities have to be on hand to make sure that the things that preserve the goods of other people, like electricity, keeping the hospitals going or keeping our refrigerators going, that those generators keep working. There need to be some people there to monitor those things. I understand with regard to foundry work, where they're melting, smelting, and so forth, metals and casting metals, that it takes, I think, days sometimes to heat up those furnaces, so that if you turn them off on the Lord's Day, it would take so many days to reheat them that by the time it gets hot again, they'd have to shut them off for the next Lord's Day. They wouldn't be able to do that, so they have to keep the foundry going. As a matter of fact, John Gerstner, when he was speaking about the Sabbath, I think in his series on the Westminster Confession of Faith, talked about when he was a student at seminary, and he was working for a foundry, but he was working in the office. And they told him one day that once a year they would go through all their books, and they did that on the Lord's Day. And John Gerstner, at the time being a seminary student, asked his employer, he says, well, Do these books have to be done on the Lord's Day? Is it necessary for them to be done on this day, or could they be done on another day? And they said, well, it could be done on another day, but this is the day that we do it. This is the day we've always done it here. And he said, well, if it's not necessary that it be done on this day, then I can't do it. And he said, well, if you can't do it, then you can't work here. He says, well, if I can't work here, I can't work here, but I can't do it on that day. And he said, I can work in the foundry. I can work keeping those smelters going and keeping the furnaces hot, but because that's necessary, but I can't do this work because it isn't necessary. And so he stood his ground, and the Lord blessed him for that. His employer said, well, we understand you're a seminary student and you take those things seriously, but we'll let you come in on another day and work on those books. You see, sometimes if we do take a stand, and we do it in a gracious way, in a humble way, our employers will work with us to help us keep our convictions. Emergencies also happen on the Lord's Day. I mean, things we have no control over. If your house caught fire on the Lord's Day, would you try to put out the fire? Or would you let your house burn to the ground? If you had a water pipe that burst, would you go out and turn the water off? Or would you let it continue to flood your house until Monday when you can turn the water off? Well, of course, you would try to take care of those things. If you got a flat tire on the freeway, would you put your spare on? I believe that those things, of course, are right. It's okay to do that because by doing that, you're preserving property, your vehicle. You're preserving perhaps life if you happen to be somewhere where it wouldn't be a good idea to be stranded for an entire day. By the way, we shouldn't do too much traveling on the Lord's Day. That's unless we actually have to do that. There was what was called the Sabbath day's journey. That had to do with, of course, how far a person should work before they are going too far. Our cars don't exactly get tired, but we just need to be careful that we don't have to travel too far. When there is the possibility of significant loss of life or property, it's lawful to do something about it on the Lord's Day. Jesus tells us in our passage, "What man is there among you who has a sheep? And if it falls into a pit on the Sabbath, will he not take hold of it and lift it out?" Now that is an act of mercy, but it's also an act of necessity because sheep was a unit of wealth. It's like money. If your money's blowing away down the street and that's all the money you have, are you going to go after it or are you going to say it's too far? It's going to be too much of an effort. I'll have to let it go today. Well, if the sheep falls into the pit, for mercy's sake, you lift it out, but also because you need it. It's part of your wealth. You take care of it. You protect it. The Lord tells us that it's okay to do that on the Sabbath so that property that might otherwise be lost would be preserved. So there are times when we must work on the Sabbath, at least with regard to necessity. But we do need to remember at the same time that the Lord doesn't allow us to break the Sabbath just for any reason. We may not do our regular work on this day because it's the Lord's Day. We're not talking about our normal vocation on this day. Work is not necessary because, for instance, our employer tells us we must work or we'll lose our job. Again, I gave you the illustration that John Gerstner had. The work has to be necessary on that day. It has to be something that must be done on that day. Otherwise, life or property is lost. And again, we wouldn't commit adultery on the Lord's Day in order to preserve our jobs. We wouldn't murder, we wouldn't steal. We shouldn't break the Sabbath in order to preserve our jobs. We need to have work that will allow us to honor the Lord on His day. But we must do, of course, the things that have to be done on that day when it is an emergency, when it is necessary. Otherwise, when we break the Sabbath by working, we will be sinning against the Lord. Now, that's the first category, is the work of necessity. And I think it's quite clear from Scripture there are such works, and it's okay, and it's actually not only okay, but it's necessary that we do them. Otherwise, we sin by not doing them. But by far, I think the majority of exceptions will fall into the second category, which are works of mercy. Jesus speaks of works of mercy within our passage. He defended his disciples' right to pick the heads of grain and to feed themselves on the Sabbath when the Pharisees accused them of breaking the Sabbath. He pointed them, that is our Lord Jesus, to another exception in the law to show them that there are, in fact, exceptions in verses 3 and 4 with regard to David eating the showbread. Have you not read what David did when he became hungry, he and his companions, how he entered the house of God and they ate the consecrated bread, which was not lawful for him to eat, nor for those with him, but for the priests alone? You realize that the law said that only the priests could eat that bread. And I believe that there were circumstances under which the Levites could eat it as well. But they were the only ones who could. Everyone else who ate the bread would be breaking the law and come under the consequences of that. Well, in this case, David and his men were able to eat the bread. And they were able to eat it because there was nothing else on hand. If you remember that particular instance in the Old Testament, David came asking for weapons. He was running away from Saul. But he came asking for weapons. He came asking for food. And the only thing that was on hand was the sword of Goliath. And there was the showbread. But the priest realized that he could give the showbread to David and his men because they needed it, because it was an act of mercy. When it comes to preservation of life, when it comes to an act of mercy, it supersedes the other law. Well, the same thing is true with regard to the Sabbath. Now, the Lord Jesus also defended his own right to do good on the Sabbath by healing the man with the withered hand. And again, he points to the example of the sheep. Which one among you would have a sheep if it falls into the pit on the Sabbath? Will he not take hold of it and lift it out? How much more valuable then is a man than a sheep? Now listen to this principle. Verse 12. So then, it is lawful to do good on the Sabbath. To do good is basically to show love on the Sabbath. It is to show mercy. It is to show compassion. That is not only allowed, it is actually required. The Lord desires compassion and not a sacrifice. Verse 7. Our Lord Jesus healed a woman who had been doubled over for 18 years on the Sabbath. He healed a man with dropsy, which means he had swollen arms and legs, on the Sabbath. He healed a layman by the pool of Bethesda on the Sabbath. And he healed a man who had been born blind on the Sabbath. It is lawful to do good on the Sabbath, to perform acts of mercy. Now, as I've said, this is probably the larger category of works that are allowed on the Lord's Day. I mean, are there vocations that actually require that work that falls into this category on the Lord's Day? Well, sure there are. What about firemen? What about policemen? What about doctors and nurses? I mean, who would want to argue that their work isn't both necessary and a work of mercy, depending upon the particular perspective that you're looking at? I mean, firemen need to be ready to put out fires. They can't be at home or out on a barbecue or maybe spending the day somewhere with their family out of town. When there's a fire, there need to be firemen that are there at the station ready to go when the emergency arises so they can go and put out the fire, they can go and save lives. Obviously, police need to be on duty because criminals don't take the Lord's Day off. They don't rest on the Lord's Day. And so you need to have policemen to protect life. You need to have them to protect your property. Doctors and nurses need to care for patients on the Lord's Day. If they don't, some of those people may die. Surgeons need to be ready to perform surgery in case somebody needs it on the Lord's Day. Now, along these same lines, if you happen to get sick on the Lord's Day, you can go to the doctor. If you are suffering because you have some kind of illness or your children are suffering, your family is suffering in some way, and you don't have medicine in your house, you can go get that medicine. It would be, we saw last week that people shouldn't be merchandising on the Sabbath, but if there's a pharmacy open, it would be right for them to sell you what you need to relieve your suffering on the Lord's Day, because that is an act of mercy. That's something that is good. What about tow truck drivers? Do they need to be on call on the Lord's Day? Well, they do for people that might break down. I already mentioned the people that maintain power plants. They need to work, and other utility workers as well, in case power lines go down or generators stop. Now, one thing, though, that we do need to bear in mind is even as we look at works of mercy, you know, people who have these kinds of jobs, is that though it may be lawful to do this kind of work on the Lord's Day, you should never be in a position where you have to do that every single week. I mean, the Lord still tells us that we must gather together for worship, not to forsake the assembling of ourselves together, so that we might worship the Lord and we might encourage one another. So if you're a fireman or a policeman and you're working on the Lord's Day, okay, well, you can work on the Lord's Day, but still try to make it to worship if you can. And if you can't, then you need to work at having your shift move so that you can. Don't be in a situation where you can never get together with the Lord's people. Now, here's some other examples of works of mercy on the Lord's Day. Sometimes we have to travel. Sometimes we have to stay in hotels when we travel. We can't always stay with family and friends, although it's nice when we can. Sometimes you have to be in a hotel then on the Lord's Day. And if you are, then there are people who need to work, but you need to be there, and they need to help you. For them, in a case like that, it would be an act of mercy, and of course for you it would be something that's necessary. Those who are traveling need to eat, so restaurants may legitimately feed them. Now, that's I realize that there's a whole mixture of people coming in, and that's very difficult for restaurants to do, but you know what? People who really want to do that can actually do that. People who own hotels, people who own restaurants. I think I may have mentioned before that I knew a person who came from the Netherlands, and he said that he knew somebody who owned a hotel and a restaurant there, and it was a Christian man who wanted to honor the Lord on the Lord's Day. So on the Lord's Day, he would shut down his hotel, and he would he would make the workers within there only do the things that were necessary to take care of the people who were in the hotel because they had to be there. They closed the restaurant to the public, but yet the cooks were in there cooking the food for the people who were in the hotel because they had to be in that hotel and they needed food. So they saw that as a work of mercy to take care of those people. And that's legitimate for them to do, to serve those people who need it, but not the people who don't need it. See, it's sort of a mixed situation. Well, again, on the Lord's Day, we also need to cook and we need to prepare meals. But I do think it would be best for us if we try to reduce the work as much as possible by preparing the meals maybe beforehand and eating leftovers on the Lord's Day. That's certainly possible. I know that a number of the ladies who prepare the food for our refreshments on the Lord's Day morning will get the food and bring it in earlier in the week, so all they have to do is reheat it on the Lord's Day and not have to do a whole lot of work. And certainly that's a good idea. And then it's good to see everyone sort of chipping in to try to help them either serve or to clean up, because that reduces the workload for those that are serving. But cooking and serving others on the Lord's Day can certainly be an act of mercy. It can be doing good on the Lord's Day because they are ministering to legitimate needs on that day, because all of us need to eat. We may not all of us need to eat as much as we eat, but we do need to eat, right? We need to eat, so that's necessary. It's an act of mercy. As a matter of fact, the Bible tells us that the early church actually got together and observed love feasts on the Lord's Day. They had potlucks, as it were, getting together for fellowship. And they did that on the Lord's Day, and that meant they had to do a little bit of work. Now, certainly it would be difficult to cover every possible scenario of what's lawful and what isn't lawful to do on the Lord's Day, but we do need to let these two things be our guide. Is what I'm doing necessary to preserve life or property? Is it an act of mercy to someone in need? Those are the two things. If it's something I can put off until the next day without losing anything significant, then it should be put off. But if it must be done on this day, then I have to do it. But we do need to remember that even when we run into works of necessity and mercy, as I mentioned before, hopefully that won't be every single Lord's Day. The ideal is to take the day off and to rest the day, to spend the day in worship, to spend the day in fellowship, to spend the day resting. That's the ideal. But there are exceptions to that. Well, next time we're going to consider further how we are to sanctify the Sabbath. We still have a few other items, such as what types of recreation are legitimate, what aren't, what should we be talking about, what should we be thinking about, those kinds of things. And we'll look at that over the next couple of Lord's Days. But for now, let's again examine what it is we do on the Lord's Day, and by God's grace, try to bring it into conformity with His will, because His will is good. What He asks us to do is right. And as we do these things, the Lord will not only give rest to our physical bodies, but He'll give refreshment to our souls. He will bless the work we do on the other days of the week. We will benefit, we will prosper, but most of all, we will give glory to the Lord and strengthen our assurance that we are the Lord's, because we really do want to spend the day with Him. Well, let's spend a few moments in prayer. Let's ask the Lord to apply His word to our hearts.